Hello, everyone. This is Bob Keebler. I'm joined today by Barry Picker, CPA, PFS, CFP, who is a graduate of Pace University with a master's degree in taxation. Barry is one of the preeminent thought leaders in the area of IRA planning. I asked Barry to join me today to walk us through IRS Notice 2009-75. Good afternoon, Barry.
Hi, Bob.
Barry, let's back up to Notice 2008-30, which is kind of where all this began. I think that's a good place to start in understanding this notice. So help us out with understanding what happened in 2008-30, why that was so novel, and what the government's trying to do here.
Well, Notice 2008-30 basically came about because of Section 824 of the Pension Protection Act of 2006. And what that section said was that for the first time, and starting in 2008, an individual who wanted to move money to a Roth IRA could move it from a company plan. Prior to that change, if you wanted to move money from a retirement account into a Roth IRA, it could only be moved from a traditional IRA. So if somebody had money in their company plan and wanted to get it to a Roth IRA, it was a two-step process. They had to move it first from the company plan into their traditional IRA, and then from their traditional IRA into the Roth IRA. In addition, there was a provision in that notice that spoke about moving money from retirement plans to IRAs when there was a non-spouse beneficiary. Again, this was a provision in the Pension Protection Act of 2006, which said that a non-spouse beneficiary could move company money into an inherited IRA. One of the parts of Notice 2008-30 was that an individual moving money from a company plan into an inherited IRA, a beneficiary of company plan money, moving it into an inherited IRA, could actually move that money into an inherited Roth IRA.
So, Barry, let me stop you right there. You're saying if I die on the way out of the Baker-Tilly pension plan, my children could actually convert that money into a Roth IRA?
That is correct, Bob. That money coming out of a company plan going into an IRA, the beneficiary can choose to have that IRA as a Roth IRA.
So to be a little bit naive, if I leave the money in the pension plan, during my lifetime, I have the asset protection of ERISA, and then when I die, my children have that added opportunity of a conversion to the Roth IRA on their own terms, compared to if I left them a regular inherited IRA, they could not convert to a Roth. Does that sound right?
That's correct. It's one of the strangeness of this law that money coming from an inherited company plan can go into an inherited Roth IRA, but money in an inherited traditional IRA cannot be moved into an inherited Roth IRA.
So between the asset protection and this flexibility on a conversion, retired architects, engineers, physicians and surgeons, dentists would all be wise to at least evaluate leaving the money in the ERISA plan for some period of time, maybe even until they die, to maximize their tax flexibility and asset protection?
That's correct.
So let's talk a little bit more about 2009-75, and maybe under Part 3, can you walk us through the service asks a question, what amount is included in gross income as a consequence of a rollover to a Roth IRA? And what are they doing there, and what strategies had people discovered that the service is trying to plug?
Well, one of the reasons why this is coming out now is that starting in 2010, which is only a few short months from now, the income limitations on Roth conversions are going away. And as a result, everybody will be able to convert money from any plan into a Roth IRA. So the service wanted to address the issue of if money is going from a company plan into a Roth IRA, what is the income that's included? Now, when money comes out of a company plan, there are certain tax advantages to that that is not available for money coming out of a traditional IRA. And specifically, that would be the 10-year averaging for a lump sum distribution for somebody who was born before 1936, and also the net unrealized appreciation for somebody who takes appreciated company stock, employer stock, out of their company plan, again, in a lump sum distribution. So there was some thought that maybe people could take a lump sum distribution from their company plan, put it into a Roth IRA, and get the tax advantages that these lump sum distributions sometimes afford. So in the question and answer in this notice 2009-75, the IRS is taking the position that when Congress enacted the Section 824 of the Pension Protection Act of 2006 that said that money could go directly from a company plan into a Roth IRA, that the intention was for Congress to make it easier for individuals to get their company money into a Roth IRA, but apparently, according to the IRS, was not to give these people the tax advantage of moving it and then having future appreciation free of income tax. So what the IRS is saying in this notice is that they're saying that money that's going directly from a company plan into a Roth IRA is taxed as if it went first from the company plan into a traditional IRA, and that IRA would be treated, again, only for tax purposes. This isn't physically happening. But that IRA is deemed to be, for this purpose, as if it's the only IRA of the taxpayer, and then goes from that IRA into the Roth IRA. And as a result, the net unrealized appreciation rules and the 10-year averaging for participants born before 1936 will not be applicable. And basically, whatever would be taxed to the individual as if they had taken it as a lump sum distribution and not used these benefits, that will be the taxable income on the conversion.
Now, Mike Jones, who's probably one of the deeper thinkers out there, was the first to come along and catch this NUA anomaly. Let me ask you this. A very Scalia-like reading of the statutory framework would probably allow you still just to pay tax on the basis, right?
If one were to read the law that way, that's correct. But when the IRS comes out with a notice like this, and they're basically saying that this notice reflects the spirit of the law, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for any court to go against the IRS on this, especially since I think that they are correct, that Congress did not intend for somebody, for example, to use the net unrealized depreciation benefit to move to a Roth IRA. I mean, to recap, in the case of a net unrealized depreciation, one pays regular income tax based on the cost basis to the plan of the securities, the employer securities, and then the balance is taxed as long-term capital gain. And if one were to be able to use NUA on the money going into the Roth IRA, then they would pay tax on the cost basis and then never pay any other tax again. And that was not the purpose of the NUA. So I think that the IRS is at least correct as far as the spirit of what was done.
But you, in certain circumstances, with an aggressive client, you might be, a CPA might be willing to either file an amended return with a disclosure statement or to file from the get-go with a disclosure statement and just battle it out with the service. But you'd probably end up in tax court, and then you'd just be the luck of the draw of whether the court read this to the spirit or to the statutory framework.
Well, and I think that you're also dealing with a situation that I think it's important enough that even if one were to get a judge that would rule in favor of the taxpayer, there's always the possibility of an appeal, and then you're dealing with an appellate court and you know, more judges and obviously more cost.
No, that's a very good point. Now, at the same time, the service also eliminated 10-year averaging, correct?
They eliminated the 10-year averaging benefit from a rollover to a Roth IRA from company plan money. Yes, they said that that benefit is not available.
So these are two pretty big changes, but really, more importantly, the service has at least given us some groundwork on how to go forward, and they've confirmed, quite frankly, that 2008-30 was a good ruling, and that they're still standing behind that, that you can move from an ERISA plan directly into a Roth IRA even after someone dies.
Yes, and that actually comes from a technical reading of the law when they put in the provision that allowed the money to go from the ERISA plan to the inherited IRA. And if you read that statute and you read that in comparison to the rules on IRA money going to Roth IRAs and inherited accounts, that is specifically prohibited in the law that says that an inherited IRA cannot be converted into a Roth IRA, and no such provision, no such prohibition exists in the provision that says the inherited ERISA money can go into the inherited IRA.
I see. Okay. Well, you've brought some real insight into this, and this is such an important notice. I wanted to let our friends and colleagues know what was in here, and this is an excellent 15-minute update, and I thank you so much, Barry. I mean, you really got to the heart of this issue. You were very concise, and I think our listeners are going to be very grateful for your insight.